Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a podcast edition of Technogaze on Joy 94.9. In Melbourne, you can tune in on Monday night, 7 p.m. on 94.9 FM or online at joy.org.au/listen live. For more information, visit joy.org.au.
Break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, bring it, pay it.
Hello and welcome to Technogaze, the show where we look into the past, observe the current and gaze into the future of technology. I'm your host, Mark Powney, and with us tonight in the studio we have a guest presenter, Troy Bolton, joining us.
Hello.
Hello, Troy.
Hello.
And also, of course, we've got Brendan Waugh. Hello, Brendan.
Howdy.
And Paul Miguel.
Good evening, everyone.
Thank you, of course, to Bridget and Dolly for bringing us another lovely drive in the camper van, and, of course, Glenn for the news. Tonight, we'll be continuing the social networking theme. We'll have an analysis and comparison of four gay dating sites, Gaydar, Manhunt, PinkSofa, and Silver Daddies. We'll have a discussion of employers and employees and how they use social networking sites. And we'll bring you some information on Microsoft's latest gaming platform, specifically focusing on the social networking components of the Xbox 360. And finally, we'll give you some advice on how to sign up and use Facebook. But first of all, Brendan, normally there's a way of contacting us, isn't there?
Yes, you can email us on onair@joy.org.au. Or you can text us on 0427JOY949 or follow us on the Twitter feed, which I look after, and that's twitter.com/technogaze with a Z.
Excellent. Now, first of all, let's have some news.
So, a report by a Jewish human rights group has noted a 25% rise in the number of hate groups on social networking websites in the last year. That includes, like, Twitter, Facebook, that sort of thing. Examples of these include a Croatian Facebook group entitled Death to Gays and a YouTube video of a Quran being burned, which the group has labelled digital terrorism and hate. Facebook had met with experts and has pledged to take down profiles that violate its terms of use, but the sheer volume of people now using social networking sites means that this has becoming unmanageable.
Yeah, I would think it would be with so many people online for them to check everything that's going on.
Absolutely. Apparently, Twitter has over 200 million profiles now, so, yeah, quite a lot of people to check.
Yeah, especially when it's a very short messages.
Absolutely.
Okay, the International Energy Agency has declared that iPhones, iPods, flat-screen TVs and other such technology is the new enemy of the environment. The efficiency gains that we've made in white goods, heating and other industry in the last 20 years has basically been chewed up by our hunger for new tech toys. So the projections are that we're going to have about triple the amount of tech toys we have at the moment in the next 20 or 30 years.
Yay.
So I mean,
but they're more likely to make them more efficient as we progress. It's just there's so many of them.
I think that's sort of the key to this here, that whilst they're getting more and more efficient, we're getting more and more of them, so we've got to find a bit of a balance there.
I think it's the multi-purpose units that we need, that we have the phone and the music and everything in one.
They've got to make them more efficient anyway, because the batteries are going to get slightly better, but, I mean, they've got to get lighter. The batteries are kind of the heaviest components of those sorts of devices at the moment anyway.
Yeah. Because in hardware, other type of hardware, computers like hard drives, they're becoming, now they even have green drives. Not sure how much they save, but they're selling them now as green drives.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a misnomer, really.
Yeah, probably.
Well, the other thing at the moment is there are the big flat-screen televisions, and they're moving to LEDs, which use less power and things
right,
like that.
Right, okay.
However, they're big and they chew power.
Yeah, I've noticed when I walk past my LCD TV, it's always really warm, and I'm just like, oh, it's using a lot of power.
I just hope you're not getting any radiation from it.
Indeed.
Sony Picture CEO hates the internet. I saw that headline and I go, oh, my God, I watch this. Dave Rosenberg, who writes for news.cnet.com, last week he wrote that Sony CEO Howard Stringer's comments suggesting Sony could have beaten Apple in digital music if only they had embraced open technology. While technology certainly could play a role in Sony's success, it's clear that the company needs a whole new way of thinking. At a breakfast recently, Michael Linden, the CEO for Sony Pictures, not Sony International, he said, quote, "I am a guy who doesn't see anything good having come from the internet. Whoa. The internet, this notion that anyone can have whatever they want at any given time, it's as if the stores on Madison Avenue, that's New York City, were open 24 hours a day. They feel entitled. They say," another quote, "give it to me now, and if you don't give it to them for free, they'll steal it." That was the quote. So basically, now they're saying that Obama is going to, he wants to increase the broadband, and without any legislature about around the copyright issues. So he's basically saying, well, that's like creating new roads and not having requiring driver's license, which is making it just stupid comparison. Now, this is my interpretation. Now, I don't think Mr. Linton understands the internet. The scary part is that he may have the influence with the governments, the U.S. government, and continue pushing his closed-minded approach. For instance, the U.S. government is trying so hard to get Canada to pass copyright laws that are restrictive as the U.S., and they may not even be in Canada's interest. But what the large entertainment companies want, which is what they're pushing for, and so far as that U.S. government has put Canada on their copyright high watch list, along with China and Korea, who don't even have copyright laws. So they're really trying to influence foreign countries, which I think one of these days it might be Australia as well.
Mm.
So no wonder Sony is in trouble, because I thought Sony, having the source, because they have the artists, they have the movies, they have everything, and they have the hardware to so that you can watch and listen. So they have the covered market, but the company as a whole, they just lost $1 billion.
It's probably the link in between that they want to have access to, I guess, is because they don't have the bit between creating the content and delivering it to you. That,
they want a monopoly.
Yeah, but they could have if they had the right business model.
Mm. Sony have just got a bit ridiculous with their different types of formats. They always seem to be producing a new format, like memory stick, which never took off, mini disc, all that sort of thing. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Also abroad, the Canadian government has started censoring parliamentary hearings on YouTube in what would seem as an indication that government's embracing of Web 2.0 as going two steps forward and one step back. The government has recently begun censoring YouTube and other sites from showing video footage of parliament committee hearings. The censorship has come about after a group of a group named the Friends of Canadian Broadcasting first started posting such videos back in 2007. Once parliamentarians realised what was going on, they sent cease and desist letters to the sites hosting the videos on the grounds that they are in contempt of Parliament. The parliamentarians argued that the posting of these videos also constitutes copyright infringement and that no permission was granted for the videos to be published. An interesting take on that situation there, considering there are public servants.
I just want to point out that the current government in Canada is very conservative, like our Liberals.
Oh, right.
And anything that exposes their lack of knowledge of politics and embarrasses them, they'll try to shut it down. They don't believe in freedom of expression.
Indeed. This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
Just before we go to the break, we've had a listener query from Bruce, who's asking what the new Android iPhone from Google is. And Bruce, what I suggest you do is go and check out our podcast, because our first episode, episode one, dealt with smartphones and did a review of the Android.
To get to our podcast, go to joy.org.au/technogaze, and you have access to all our podcasts.
Next up, we've got a discussion on online dating sites available to us in the gay community. Paul has chosen to do silverdaddies.com. Troy is our pretend lesbian for this segment, and he took on pinksofa.com. Brendan, of course, did Manhunt, and I had a look at Gaydar. So, Paul...
Yours doesn't even sound like it's a real dating site.
It's one of the first, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
So, it started off as a bit of a research project for you, Paul, didn't it? It was... what do you think...
Yes, because I don't have a Facebook profile. I never got into MySpace and all that. Never really paid much attention. I mean, I knew what it was, but didn't see a need for myself to use it.
Right.
I had heard of Silver Daddies because a friend of mine, if we have time, I might go into that story, in Amsterdam, actually used it in a positive way,
right,
and it worked for him. So now when we were talking about these dating sites, so I thought, I'll have a look, Silver Daddies, which, you know, it's also my, I guess, my orientation is towards older men.
Oh, okay. I'm learning more and more about you.
And also, and I'm starting to have silver hair, so I figured, I don't want to be a daddy, though.
Silver Fox, it should be called, maybe.
Oh, that sounds better.
You should be in the online industry, then. So, what is it that you think drives people to these sites?
Well, based on what I looked around, it's the two extremes are... Actually, I guess there's three, really, where one is people, and just on my very basic research, we just want sex. We're just looking for sex partners.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, probably people who are just looking for friends, or people who are traveling and want to meet up with, you know, in another country. Or the thirds are just people who are looking for long-term friendships or relationships.
Mm.
So I think it has its purpose as long as it doesn't become an obsession.
Right. So I guess your side, of course, is for the older folk. Brendan?
But not only.
Not only the...
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I think Manhunt's pretty much the opposite of Silver Daddies, I think. I'd say that, like, 99% of profiles on there are people looking just for a casual sort of partner. Manhunt was launched in 2001. It was actually originally a telephone call-in sort of dating service in the Boston area. But shortly after it was launched, they realised that a lot of people were starting to use the internet, so they launched on that. Now it's the most popular LGBT-targeted online site, surpassing long-time leader Gay.com with over 1.5 million profiles worldwide, 1 million of which active.
Right. Okay. Mm. And I guess the other side of this, so we tried to represent the whole community tonight, so Pink Sofa. Troy, what do you think of Pink Sofa?
Well, I guess in getting in touch with my feminine side, thanks to your request to look at this site, I've found that the site, I think, is one of the premier lesbian dating sites.
Mm.
It covers the gamut of needs that we've spoken about here, and the site allows you to kind of identify what your desire is. But it seems to cater to a large range of age groups. Some of the default settings seem to be hitting in at the sort of late 20s, early 30s age groups, so I'm suspecting that's where they're targeting. However, they don't have a great deal of a spiel about who their target audience is or anything much about their history, although they have been around for 9 years as well. So they've been around for, almost as long as some of the ones that you guys
more established
are looking
sites,
at.
Yeah.
And in terms of the interface, is it sort of a modern-looking site? I mean,
it's a very attractive, simplistic sort of layout.
Right.
It's very much into sort of the Web 2.0 style of simplicity and bold colours.
Yep.
Not too much clutter. It's quite easy to navigate and find what you're looking for.
Mm. Interestingly, I as I said before, I did Gaydar, and of course they've changed the front page of their site to reflect a new sort of Web 2.0 look to it. I've still got the hot guys displayed on the front page, but the interesting thing is when you actually get into the site, although they've tried to create new Web 2.0 features to the site, it still uses the old clunky frames-based layout, which from a web designer's point of view is just ridiculous.
I think you'll find under the hood that PinkSofa is doing a bit of the same thing there.
I wonder if they use the same engine or not, like if they're all built from a base code base or something like that.
I find that hard to believe.
So, Silver Daddies?
SilverDaddies.com. Mm. Their logo is "Where Mature Men Are Wanted by Dads and Sons."
Right.
Right. First impression, first of all, it's adult content. Like front page when you get, yep. You can get pornographic photos. They describe themselves as a meeting place for mature men or men who are looking for daddies and younger. The navigation, it's a very traditional website. I don't think it's very 2.0. It's very simple looking. You got navigation on the left side, which is still very traditional. Mm-hmm. Right side, you get two photos, random. So every time the page page refreshes, you get two photos of other people, so you can click on them and get to the profile. But when you first start, there's the young gallery and the older gallery. So if you're a daddy looking for a son, if you're a son, although I hate that daddy-son thing.
Yeah.
Even though my partner is older than me and I have a preference for older men, doesn't mean that I'm looking for a dad.
Right. I guess it's it pigeonholes you, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing, you know, like if you happen to like somebody who's a bit overweight, you become a chubby chaser. I don't know. We just seem to like to put labels on people.
Well, it makes it easy to categorize, I guess.
Isn't yeah, and but some people, you know, don't take everything seriously. There's this one guy, 69-year-old in the States, who has a photo of his dog as his profile photo. I'm not sure what that means.
Actually, on that, what was your profile photo there, Paul? I know you signed up for this site just for this purpose.
And hopefully no one's listening. I didn't use my name, and I didn't use my photo. Mm. Everything else that I had was true. I basically set it up so that I was looking for everything, top, bottom, versatile, oral, and I have a partner looking for sex, looking for long-term, looking for everything.
Right.
And my description was that I don't know what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And
like a U2 song almost.
Yes. I didn't think of that one. And as a photo, I just found on the internet a photo of a guy in a suit without any, no face. And the shot was sort of from the chest to above the knees. He's wearing a suit with a tie and a hard penis. A good size. I had to pick something that was a good size.
Absolutely.
Because the idea is I want to attract somebody. But I didn't really want to mislead anyone. So I did get quite a few replies as of this afternoon. I had 18 replies.
Nice.
And some of them with photos of themselves. And also links to their sites.
Was that in... how long had you had that profile?
Sorry. I created a profile Saturday afternoon, or late afternoon. And at the same time that I got the acceptance email from the site, I got this man already wanting to, to, you know, catch
popular.
Up.
Popular. Wow.
And I got this afternoon, I checked just before going in there, I had a 28-year-old looking for a daddy.
Hmm.
Even though my profile said I was looking for 50 to 65.
Yeah.
I had a 34-year-old as well.
Right.
And the other ones were in their 50s and one as old as 85.
Wow.
Well, I guess we've explored your social life over the last week far enough, but we need to get back to the features. Now, one of the things that a lot of the sites have in common is the fact that they've all got paid-for features, I guess, don't they? Manhunt, has it got a paid for?
It does. It has an unlimited feature where you can spend like $7 for 7 days of unlimited. But it didn't actually. I couldn't find anywhere on the site that actually described what you got for unlimited. So,
oh, really?
You can pay for it and you can use it, but I don't know.
You didn't want to go down that path.
No. You do get like 16 pictures out of the box, and it has all these sorts of fields for entering in every sort of dimension you can imagine,
right.
And also what you're into. So, you know, it's pretty well catered for anyway, without having to pay for it.
Right. Pink Sofa, does it have a paid for section?
Yeah, it certainly does. In fact, most of the features the site has, and I must say that compared to some of the more sophisticated features I'm hearing about on some of these other sites. It's got pretty standard basic fare, but there are some advantages for paying, and it's quite a reasonable fee that they have as well for that. I think $30 for 1 month,
really?
Better than a lot of other sites. The features that you can get out of that are enhanced forum contribution rights, priority in search listings, and also the ability to send non-templated messages. If you don't pay, you just get a choice of particular messages you can send. Otherwise,
oh,
if you
really
pay, yeah.
Mm. Oh, so it's not free text.
Not free text unless you pay.
Right.
And the same, you don't get instant messaging unless you pay either.
Right. What's instant messaging? Does it come up instantly, or is it sort of a, you know, wait a couple of minutes for it to come through? Or
In the experience that I had on there, and it was limited, I must say, it is pretty instantaneous.
Right, okay. I guess with in terms of Gaydar, the price was $13.95 per month. Now, I think that's in US dollars, though, so one to look out for. But that included things like a travel itinerary feature, which meant that you can enter in your travel itinerary and it would then alert people in the area that you're travelling to that you were actually going to
be a social planner. Very good.
So people could leave town or open their homes, whichever they want.
Yeah, whichever
lock up their sons.
But actually, that's a good idea, I think.
Yeah. If you've got a specific thing you're looking for while you're over there, yeah. Then, you know, accommodation or...
No, exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
Entertainment.
Other features that it has is unlimited number of friends, so you can actually have a list of friends in your profile, and also an unlimited list of favourite people as well. So you can have you can choose people that you're favourites with, and list them there. Profile views and messages are also unlimited when you pay for the service with Gaydar. Now, this is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9. We're discussing online dating sites. If you haven't been able to work that one out, you can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. And, of course, Brendan, our Twitter feed
is TechnoGaze at... Twitter.com/that. What I just said, yeah.
TechnoGaze.
You get it.
We're talking about online dating sites. It's more than just social sites. We're not talking about Facebook. We're talking about finding a date or sex or whatever you're looking for. And we were talking specifically about premiums and what you get for it. Silver Daddies, you have a choice of 3, 6, and 9 months in 1 year, like whatever you want. The 3 months is $15 US. And you get things like access to video profiles. You get to, you know, keep private notes about profiles. Yeah. You can find out who's looked at your profile, this sort of thing. So just a bit more to... I think it's the webmaster trying to have some money. So because there's no ads on the websites. So it's a way to maintain the site.
Well, Manhunt does have a few ads in it. You actually get messages sent through advertising products into your inbox. But I'm actually curious. I'm wondering if anybody out there who has paid for the Manhunt paid service and what you get, if you want to text in 0427JOY949 and let us know, that'd be great.
We do have a message, Brendan. You might be able to answer that one.
Yeah, I don't actually know the answer to that question either. The question is, if Manhunt's so popular, why is there no one in the US cruising profiles when you log in? Whenever I go to the site, there are no profiles posted. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because when I was on Silver Daddies, it was mostly Australian, right. and Americans.
Perhaps it does some sort of IP address matching to find out which location you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of other sites. I mean, Gaydar actually has a location service where you enter in your GPS.
Okay, that's going too far.
Yeah. And you can actually find people in close proximity to you. And I've actually heard of other sites that are embracing things like the iPhone and that sort of thing with GPS inbuilt, where you can actually tell it, okay, I'm here, I want my details spread around the place to look for people that...
It's just like a beam.
Yeah.
Like beaming your...
Although that's still in development, but it'd be interesting to see where that one goes.
The one of the features, the search feature, which we haven't talked about yet, like when you're trying to, you know, going through all the profiles and trying to match somebody with what you like. One of the features in the search is, aside from, you know, height, weight, the location is also within a certain distance. So if you want to have a look at men that are within a kilometer within your house, you know, so that you don't have to walk too far, that's one of the options. Now, I'm not sure how they use your location that you've entered and then try. I'm not sure how they compare or what they use as a way to determine the distance. Like, so if you put Melbourne as your city and you put within 5K, you're still inside the city of Melbourne because it doesn't go down to a suburb.
Right.
So I'm not sure how accurate that is.
Yeah, it might be the GPO or something.
Or they might be using, you know, I'm in Melbourne like within 200 miles or something like that.
Which doesn't really narrow it down much at all.
No.
Now, the other sites, so they have, because I know Gaydar has the chat feature, which is quite popular. I mean, it's quite heavily used on, you know, there's always someone in there. It's all sort of location-based as well, so you get to choose which chat room you enter based on your location. You might go to Victoria and then choose the Melbourne area, and then there's like a sex room and a non-sexual room, and I guess it's actually interesting that the Sydney area is covered by more people are in the sex-oriented room than who are in the non-sex room, whereas in Melbourne there's more people in the non-sex room than what there is in the sex room. Mm. Which is,
well, I know, there's a reason why, you know, Sydney's known as Sin City.
Because they,
I think, they, I like, don't know,
or maybe it is that Melbourne don't like to admit it.
Yes, we're very shy. The Silver Daddy has a chat room. I just want to mention that because you're not allowed to use a chat room within the first 24 hours of signing up.
Oh, right.
Mm, yes.
Interesting.
Mm. What about Manhunt, Bradman?
Manhunt definitely has chat. It's flash-based and textual chat, and you can actually plug in the webcam and have video chat as well.
Oh, right.
So it's one-to-one rather than like joining a chat room like it is on Gaydar.
And you mentioned it's flash-based, so that would imply that it's actually quite up-to-date in terms of...
Yeah, definitely. Interface. In fact, Manhunt has currently has beta.manhunt.net at the front of its name, and they're obviously testing out new features on their users.
Mm.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I found that when I was browsing the site, I couldn't look at people's profiles for a while. Right. So, it looks like they're doing, you know, up-to-date testing right now.
Testing live.
Yeah, absolutely.
As any beta, good beta site does. Of course, the chat feature in Gaydar is actually quite clunky. It's not changed since, I don't know, back in the 2000s or earlier even. It's this Java-based applet, and it's crap.
Ooh, Java.
It's really clunky. It's hard to scroll around and do, you know, the usual things that you want to do with a chat room. Pink Sofa?
Well, interestingly, that also has a Java-based chat. It's very simplistic. It's not clunky. It's very straightforward. There are only a few chat rooms in there, though. I noticed that there was a lesbian lounge, a Sappho's spa, a penthouse and a newbies chat, and that's all. I don't know if it was sort of automatically filtering by location and not exposing that to me.
Right. Maybe the user base wasn't large enough to have multiple locations or something.
Well, when I logged in, there were 134 users, and that was in the middle of the day. And there were about 25 people in Victoria and 30 in New South Wales active, so it sort of is visited, but maybe not in the volumes that you were seeing there.
Yeah, fair enough. And we talked about Silver Daddy's, didn't we?
That's, yeah, but I didn't try the chat room. Oh. Just so the one thing, as I mentioned at the beginning, that it was pornographic from the beginning.
Right.
Sorry, I shouldn't say pornographic, but there are nude photos.
Explicit.
Explicit, thank you, that's the word. Yeah. Explicit photos. But there's also the light.silverdaddies.com, which is meant for public places where they don't show the Silver Daddy's logo, or the explicit photos are not displayed.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that if you're in a public place, you don't get embarrassed.
You don't want people around you to know this, which I guess is something that the older generation might be more inclined to want.
I wouldn't know. Like, if I was, you know, in a room with, you know, so many people, I don't want people to look at the naked men that I'm looking at.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's designed for the workplace then, is it?
Well, no, there's an idea. I didn't think of that. Thank you.
This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9. Coming up next, we'll have a quick chat about social networking sites in the workplace. Maybe not the dating sites, but other social networking sites and how developments have occurred then. And Xbox 360 we'll be talking about later on. This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
Online social networking in the workplace. So you've created your Facebook profile. You have access to internet at work. Should you view, update your profile at work? Here's Mark with issues and policies regarding social networks in the workplace.
Right, so I guess there's two sides to this. There's a side of actually using social networking sites within the workplace itself. And there's also the posting of comments about your employers in your own time. You might not do that from work, but you're actually posting comments that are related to your work environment. I guess on the social networking during work hours side, there's been a few, or quite, it's quite common in fact for employers to block access to the sites, In the same vein as their existing internet access policies. So you might know that some, well, from personal experience, a lot of sites or a lot of employers that I've worked for actually exclude access to email, for example, outside of your own corporate network. And, of course, I guess, Paul, we have a common denominator in that we worked for the same employer once upon a time, and you'd be quite well aware of that.
Yeah, that's right. We weren't allowed to use anything. But I think there's two reasons. One is, you know, what you're looking at, as well as, you know, the time you're wasting or spending online.
Oh, that's right.
And it's also the bandwidth. So, in other words, you're using the company's internet access, which other people may be using for, you know, real work.
Indeed. Well, I guess that's one of the usual justifications for the new the policy to be in place to block access, is that it's an impact on staff productivity, and it also, there's commonly a risk to companies' data is used as a common reason for not including social networking.
In terms of people hacking in and stealing the data through your profile,
it's a bit of a vague one.
Posting your profile, posting data, company data on your profile.
Yeah, I guess it's a vague one. I guess it's probably the latter. So me, Joe Bloggs, I work for Company X. I'm posting on, you know, on Facebook now. I have access to all this information. Therefore, you know, I could just say, "Oh, this business deal has just gone through now." So, you know.
Reminds me a lot of the story with the fake Stephen Conroy Twitter feed, and how he was kind of bagging out his employer and then
indeed,
got in trouble.
Indeed, you've preempted me there, because I did have a bit to say about that later on. But I guess there's the other side of the coin where employees actually embrace it as well, justifying it by saying that it creates a sense of community amongst their employees. One example of that is in fact Flight Centre. They embrace Facebook with a network that they created, a networking page on Facebook, and that networking page actually allows their employees that are all over Australia, you know, they're located in all their outlets all over Australia, and it allows them to communicate with each other. So it's actually productive in that sense, whereas, you know, there are other companies that don't see it that way.
Well, actually, there's some research came out probably 3 to 4 weeks ago where they actually think that people who access the social network sites, they're more productive, because, like, if you're working at your desk doing the same thing over and over, and sometimes you get either bored with it or just get, you know, it's a bit overwhelming, and you need a break.
Yep.
So it's like a mental break. You know, sometimes you're sitting for too long and you're aching, you know, muscle aches. So you get up and stretch. This is a sort of like a mental break where you're doing the same thing over and over. Like, for instance, reviewing a long document, which could take hours. And it just take, 5 minutes, look online or look at the news, look something. They find that people become more productive.
Indeed.
Cigarette break 2.0.
We should patent that phrase, or at least register it as a trademark. So I guess the other side of it is outside the workplace. The employers have begun to wise up to these new mediums and actually include in their policies, you know, in their employment contracts or their guidelines for, you know, working with them, that, you know, that you aren't able to use Facebook, or you are able to use Facebook but under certain conditions. And one example, as Brenda mentioned before, the fake Stephen Conroy profile on Facebook, where a Telstra employee was actually the owner of that particular profile, and was posting information that was not only sort of confidential information about Telstra itself, but also criticism on the government and criticism on the company and that sort of thing, where, you know, that was causing, I guess, Telstra some political issues at the time, and probably still is to this day, because of the issues that are going on with open access and all the rest of it on their networks. I guess the guidelines generally include suggestions like adding disclaimers to posts. So they're not actually saying don't use Facebook, but they're actually saying, you know, if you're posting about a particular company, add a disclaimer to the bottom of it saying that it's your opinion, your own personal opinion and not the opinion of the company, which you do often see these days on different forum sites and that sort of thing.
But from a copyright point of view, you still remember, you're still responsible for anything that you publish, even if you're repeating somebody else's words.
Oh, it's an interesting one.
That's right. You know, if you say that Job Blogs said something about a certain company, you're just in breach as they are. So you do have to be careful.
Hmm.
And remember that if you on those websites, it's like publishing a newspaper, a book, or being on the radio or anything like that. It's no longer talking to your mates in the pub.
Hmm.
You do have to be careful.
I guess there's the other side of it, which is the overseas aspect. We recently, just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, there was a Swiss insurance company called National Swiss, I think it's how it's pronounced. They reportedly fired an employee for posting on Facebook when she called in explaining that she was unable to work at a computer that day. Mysteriously, a friend request came through to that particular person's profile, Facebook profile, and as a result, they worked out, it apparently was from the employer, and they worked out that she was actually posting on Facebook. So they argued that she was actually lying, that she could actually use a computer that day, where, you know, in fact, you know, she should have been at work. And her response to that was actually that she was using the iPhone application to use that, not a computer as such. So there's a bit of an odd one that I read about. It's
yeah, but that's, yeah, it's really getting off a bit in the sense that, but it's also, again, people who publish, wasn't somebody in the US who published that he had called in sick in his profile, and his boss looked at his profile and found out he was actually at home and not sick.
Mm. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, so, again, remember that when you're publishing on the internet, you have, once you press enter, you have no control whatsoever where it goes.
Where it goes. This has been Technogaze on Joy 94.9. We're not finished yet. This is Technogaze on Joy 94.9, and tonight we're all about social networking again, and just continuing on the theme of the last couple of shows. And next up we have the Xbox 360. It has some social networking components, doesn't it, Troy?
It certainly does, and I guess whilst they're not strictly Web 2.0, they're very much of the social networking ilk. I guess the Xbox and the Xbox 360 are in many ways a social networking platform. If you want to look at gaming and collaborative gaming as a sort of social networking type of activity.
So I guess there's a lot of online games that are popular these days, and people are using networks and that sort of thing to connect their games.
Yeah, well, I guess online gaming's been around since the 1980s. If you want to look at the old text-based games that were on the internet and newsgroups.
Yes.
Not newsgroups, bulletin boards. and I guess they evolved through the 90s through sort of land-based games like Command & Conquer and things like that in the mid-90s. And I guess as soon as the console makers could get into that, they decided to do it. I guess the first platform for that, or one of the first ones, I'm not sure if it was exactly the first, is the Xbox. And really, basically, not only is it there to or network to allow you to play games with other people and chat and what have you, they've, I guess, struck on that platform as an entire means of getting people to interact and also to engage with the platform and therefore sell more games and more consoles.
Mm. Definitely.
So I guess it all came about with the network connection added to the console, didn't it? And it was that was the driving force for networked.
Yeah, I guess in the early days of having that hardware available, it was limited to sort of local usage, you know, within the room, things plugged in. But very quickly, the internet became the medium for connecting everything together. And much like in computing or on, you know, computer-based games, the consoles have the same sort of range of capabilities now. The Xbox has been, I guess, one of the most successful online gaming console platforms. The PlayStation also, or PlayStation 3 does it. But ever since the 360 came out, there's been a real focus on I guess, developing a culture of online gaming and sort of collaboration. So there are chat rooms, you can have video chat. You know, they allow you to identify what types of games you want to play, what types of people you want to play with, and then it sort of eases the process of dropping you into an appropriate game.
I've always found that with the online games, it's more about voice chat when you're, like, you know, fragging people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a little bit of chat maybe in the foyer of a game as you're going in, and then it's a whole lot of colourful language after that.
Yeah, sometimes coming from my mouth as well.
The interesting thing, though, is I actually had a very interesting experience last year. I hopped into a version of Call of Duty. I don't know if it was 2 or 3, I can't remember. The one that's set in wartime Europe, and I was sort of...
3, I think.
I think that was 3. Yeah, and I dropped into a rail yard in Russia, expecting to be annihilated within 5 seconds by a 12-year-old, as I usually am. And instead, there was no one around. And I'm sort of wandering around in there thinking, where is everyone? I know there are people in the game.
Yeah.
And eventually, these kids call out to me, hey, don't shoot us. And I'm like, okay, why not? And they're like, hey, look at this. And they were actually spending their Saturday afternoon together, and they obviously lived across town somewhere in America, and they were just hanging out together. And they discovered some flaws in the physics of the game engine, and so they were climbing up a ladder that no longer existed, then sailing down onto roofs, and all the while chatting with each other.
Cool.
So it's a sort of a new way of interacting.
Yeah, definitely. Finding out the tweaks in the game.
One of my concerns with that is that I heard say have quite a few homophobic slurs.
Yeah, I actually personally have found that rather challenging. There's a lot of anti-gay sentiment, but I don't think it's meant. It's just part of the lingo, and you have to sort of, as much as I hate to say this, in that environment, suck it up and deal with it.
Sorry. Personally, I don't accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem is that you can report people, and sometimes it's very hard to know
who it was out of
20
exactly.
different people.
Because you're listening through the headphones, and it's all these voices coming at you.
And even if the name's flashing up, you know, you're not really following the actions that fast.
One of those 10 names that just flashed up then or something.
Exactly.
I suppose it is, be warned, if you're going online and you're likely to be offended, as you said, Troy, you know, either deal with it.
Yep.
Or don't go there.
With the Xbox, there's kind of four groups of that you can actually join into. One's the underground, where, you know, you'd expect lots of people to be saying it. And there's not the family happy groups and that sort of thing, and you know, serious gamer groups and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it depends on what kind of group you join, whether you're going to get a lot of bad language or not.
Yeah, and I mean, they very much are into enforcing good behaviour in the family groups.
Right.
So that's where to start if that's what you're into.
Excellent. This has been TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9, a show about social networking. If you missed any of this show, you can always download the podcast at joy.org.au/technogaze. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
Bye. This is a podcast edition of Technogaze on Joy 94.9. In Melbourne, you can tune in on Monday night, 7 p.m. on 94.9 FM or online at joy.org.au/listenlive. For more information, visit joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.